morning. You know, it's interesting. This is the fourth time that I've been here, and I just appreciate it so much. And what I love most of all is the fact that when I arrive here, the way the Holy Spirit begins to orchestrate and confirm what needs to be said. Because getting up and preaching, I know I make it look really good, but it's hard. It's hard. And, you know, especially when you do a two-hour drive, man, the devil's got you captive for 2 hours in a car. And this time, similar to the first time we were here, we brought our children. And so we were captive in multiple capacities to the movie playing and some game in the back and all this. But they did great. They did great. And it's just, it is one of those things where you have to learn how to pray through that enemy, right? And just pray the character of God over and over and over again so that when you arrive, you can hear the still small voice confirming what needs to be said, right? It's not that the enemy quits. It's just that the voice of our God and my Savior becomes booming and says, ah, not today. Today there's something that needs to be said. You know, we were singing that song, Good Father, and oh, I love that song. I love that song. I love it for a lot of reasons. My relationship with my own father has had its ups and downs, and I'm so thankful today that my father and I's relationship is reconciled, and I have this beautiful relationship with him now. But it wasn't always that way, and when I sing that song, it is a reminder of how good our Heavenly Father is, and that those relationships, those turmoil relationships that sometimes we have with our earthly parents is not that same relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, although there are some similarities. And this morning I want to talk about one of the similarities, which is discipline. It's not the word we like very much. But what I love that I've come here and this, I was thinking about this just before I came up, this word intentional keeps coming. Every time I'm here, we talk about this intentional, and I don't think that's an accident. You know, the cards that you're talking about, it's about intentionally praying, Lord, who can I send this to? It's an intentional movement that we make. And as followers of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what we need to be doing. That every breath we take is, in fact, an intentional one. That every time our feet hit the floor, it's intentional to live out the call that he's placed on our heart. So just Tuesday, because we had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Ooh, glorious 5 days off from school. But on Tuesday, we were reading this story in my class. I teach all freshmen this year. So lovely 14-year-olds, pray for me tomorrow that I can keep them awake or let them sleep. You know, it's quieter that way. But, you know, the thing is that we were reading this story by Langston Hughes, and it's called Salvation. Now, I've read this story a bunch of times. I've done this curriculum for a long time, but there was something different, and I'm going to say that there's something different in me, that the closer we get to Christ, the more he starts taking the mundane, the thing you do every day, and he shows you how to use it. And so the story Salvation, it's exactly what it sounds like. It is Langston Hughes' story of finding Jesus. But then as he says in the very second sentence, but I wasn't really saved. And I do as I do with all my students, right? Okay, well, what do we think the title means? And you know, I took for granted that I know what salvation means. And how many of them said, well, I don't know what that means. And they were feeling a little unsure of themselves to say, I don't know what that means. And because, right, the word is tucked in my heart, because before I wake up, I intentionally say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And I say, okay, now what are we going to do about it? All of a sudden, well, I think it might mean this, and I think it might mean this. And then I got someone who said, I've heard of a place called the Salvation Army. Is that the same thing? And, we write everything down regardless of whether or not we think it's the right answer, and it's so important to our learning. Well, In the first paragraph of that story, he talks about being at a several-week-long revival. And the music and the praying and all of these things. And then it was their turn, the children's turn to be saved. Well, it was interesting how many, well, what's a revival? Well, what's a deacon? Well, what is this? And what is this? And what is this? And all of a sudden it occurred to me, I am talking about the gospel in a public school with publicly driven curriculum. Yeah. And we're having this beautiful conversation about salvation and what is a revival and why do we pray and why is his aunt praying so much for him to be saved? And it was so beautiful. See, this is what it means when we're followers of Jesus Christ and we wake up and we say, Lord, don't let me waste a breath. Let me wake up with the intention to do something with all that I know. This morning's message actually comes from Mark, and there's two parts to it. And I want us to think about this. My mind informs my heart, informs my behavior. So the question for you is, what is on your mind? And I want to start actually with Mark 11. And this is, of course, after Jesus clears the temple. He walks in, he's upset at what he sees happening inside the temple. And we're going to go to verse 22, chapter 11, verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." Well, this is a powerful idea, isn't it? To think that if I want a mountain to move, all I have to do is pray with faith. But what does that look like? What does that actually look like? You know, the Hebrew word for mountain, and when we look at that, is really a large trial, something standing in our way. Although I believe that we know through Scripture that the Lord can, in fact, move physical mountains. But this in particular, what I want to bring to you today is this idea of a mountain that needs to get out of our way. So this summer, I had the privilege of preaching at different camps, and it was beautiful. I started out at the Michigan District Senior High Camp, and praise God, 71 teens gave their life to Christ that week. Praise God. That's mountains moving, my friends. That is mountains moving. Those are young people who are going to go back into their homes, and they're going to tell their parents about what happened in their life. And we don't have to wait until we're older to figure that out. In fact, there's a reason why God keeps telling us to be childlike, because they believe, they see him, they experience him, they know him, and then they want to speak about him. And it was so wonderful. And you go from these mountaintop experiences, and then we kind of come back into that everyday life. And I was preparing to spend the week at our family camp. And I saw some of you there. And I really, my goal was to just get back in touch with God. I'd been spending so much time giving, preaching. Thank God for all of his blessings. And I needed just to be filled, the cup to be filled again. And I went into that week really knowing the Lord is going to speak to me. But can anyone testify? You say, "I know the Lord's going to speak to me," but the word he gives you is not the one you wanted to hear. You know, that was me. And as I listened to the sermons both morning and evening and enjoyed just kind of being poured into, there was a lot of conversation by Dr. Benson about our mind and what is in our mind. And that's the question for you today. What's on your mind? Are you a prayerful person? You pray, you do your devotion, you do get up with an intention every morning, and yet that mountain just doesn't seem to go anywhere. You prayed with incredible faith, but nothing's changing. The question is, what's on our mind? What are we taking to the Lord on our mind subconsciously before we even open the Scripture? Before we even say a word to him, what is our mind doing? Well, the Lord brought me to Mark 11 a little bit further. Not this wonderful passage of a God who moves mountains. Not this wonderful passage that if I ask anything, I will receive it. Instead, the Lord took me to Mark 11, starting at verse 27. Again, they entered Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" "I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question." Jesus replied, "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me." Now, this is interesting, right? Jesus is declaring an answer first. He's saying, "Listen, I want to hear." Now, I love this because Jesus knows exactly what they're going to say, but he's still giving them room. He's giving them space to figure it out. They talked it over among themselves. "If we say it was from heaven, he'll ask us why we didn't believe John. But do we dare say it was merely human? For they were afraid of what the people would do, because everyone believed that John was a prophet." So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. My mind informs my heart, informs my behavior." You know, here's the thing. Do you mind if I come down? I want to come down. I'm coming down whether you mind or not, I guess. You know, here's the thing. So here I was praying, "Lord, I know you're going to move." I had the faith that the Lord was going to tell me something that I needed to hear, that I needed to know. And I want you to know today that when we pray with that faith, mountains will move. They're just not going to do it in the time you think they're going to do it. They're just not going to go the way you think they're going to go always. And in fact, if we stood here today, we could probably get plenty of you to testify to the fact that when it didn't go your way and it went a different way, it was exactly the way it was supposed to be. You just didn't know it then. You just didn't know it in the moment. And it was hard to have faith. It was hard to stand in that moment. So here I was, Dr. Benson's asking us to think about something you say to yourself that you need to stop saying. Well, I'd ask you to think about that this morning too. Is there something that you tell yourself that you need to stop saying? Because in fact, it's standing between you and a mountain moving. Well, I got back to do my devotions, and here I was in Mark 11. The religious leaders, the priests, these people, they knew exactly that they knew that no answer they gave was going to be one that was going to go well for them. And that it was going to all go wrong, so they did what my teenagers do so often in class. "I don't know." Or IDK, right? I don't know. And it struck me, Jesus' response, "Then I won't tell you." I realized that as much faith as I had to see mountains move and him do something incredible in my ministry, that when it came time for someone to ask me a question, the first thing off my lips too often that I cared to admit was, "I don't know." Right? I was giving myself breath to think about it. But was I really telling God that I don't know? Or do I know by the grace of God that even though I don't know the plan, I know he will do something amazing? And how could we change our lives and our families if instead of saying, "I don't know," because maybe genuinely we don't know, but we just declared the character of God instead? If we just declared for a moment, "You know what, my God has always been faithful, therefore I know he will be again." What if that was what was on our mind when we're asked the questions we don't have an answer to? A young lady that my husband and I know, And she's the tattoo artist that my husband and I have seen. And she is in this wonderful relationship. They have 6 kids between the two of them. And their 13-year-old, 12 or 13, just passed away. Just passed away. I don't have answers. I don't have a good answer for that. But I do know that she knows we're a prayerful people. And there might come a time when we meet again where there might be a difficult question. And I could say, I don't know, or I could say that our God is faithful, and he is just, and he is merciful, and his peace surpasses understanding, and pray that peace over that family who's hurting so desperately. But I don't know so often slips off our lips. In the most innocent of way, don't get me wrong, these men, they knew. They were not innocently saying they didn't know. But as a prayerful Christian people, let us not be like this. Let us have the answer that says to those around us that I will wake up with intention today. And if today is the last day that I live here on earth, I pray that it is a day that the Lord will move mountains around me. It's so interesting when you think about these two things parallel to each other. This message here that Jesus is giving, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to the mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I ask you, when you go before the king, what is on your mind? Is there doubt that stands between you and him? Maybe it's unintentional. Maybe you don't even realize that you doubt him. To be honest, as I went into this moment, right, and I sat down, I wept over the scripture. I have notes to myself on 7/26 this year. I wrote to myself, this is why I hear so little. Have you ever wondered, well, God, I talk to you every day, but I don't hear you in return. Oh, Lord, I've been praying. Why hasn't anything changed? Well, what is on your mind? What is on your mind? I didn't realize, and this is why I call him a good father today, is because he's so merciful and he's so good to show a revelation like this in his mercy. To say that if you change what's on your mind, I can show you wonderful things. I can show you people you've never seen before. I can show you how this circumstance in your life can be used for my kingdom. I can show you imaginable things and unimaginable things. I can do as the scriptures promise. So what's on your mind? Do we go before the king wondering, well, can he really? Will he really? What if they don't care? What if they don't listen? I'll tell you, the teacher in me on Tuesday, who's looking at the clock and thinking, man, I can't wait for this day to be over. Let's go on vacation. And I'm sure they were thinking the same thing. It is in that moment that I could have also missed an opportunity to talk about salvation and revivals and preachers. Because what was on my mind? I have to, as all of us do, have to take the time to say, Lord, captivate my mind. Let me know and hear you in a more rich and truthful way. And along with that comes discipline, where he's willing to show us, listen, you've been occupied over here. Come back to me. Come back to me. Let me speak to you in a different way. It's been months, July. I've been thinking about this. I have people ask me all the time, so what's your plan? What's your plan? That's like the worst question ever, isn't it? Yes. Yes. Thank you. It is like the worst question ever. I get it all the time. So I probably told you, right, my school is closing. This is its last year. And I get this question all the time at work. Well, what's your plan? What are you going to do? And then, of course, as I travel around and I preach, I get, well, what's your plan? What are you going to do? Well, after July, I don't say I don't know anymore. But then I started praying, well, Lord, what am I supposed to say? Because I really don't know. It's a genuine heart of I don't know. And the revelation is this, well, his plans are good for those who obey and are faithful. And what a testimony we can be giving to our world around us if our answer becomes, well, his plans are good for those who are willing to be faithful and obey. Now, it's hard. We just got an email not that long ago that states, right, oh, the layoffs are going to be a lot worse than they thought they were going to be. That's a wonderful thing to hear in October when you have all the way till June. There's an incredible testimony that comes when the I don't know doesn't scare you. When being unafraid of what the future will hold because you know that I'm going to stay faithful and I will obey what God asks me to do because I will see mountains move. He promises it in his scripture. And so the thing is that as I walk along the halls and the anxiety, you could cut it with a knife. I don't know how we're going to make it to June. But I walk through those halls when there's a peace that settles upon you because you are no longer afraid of the I don't know. You're no longer afraid because you know that God will move mountains, that that obstacle that's standing in your way will crumble. It may not turn out the way you thought it would, but it will come down. You want to be a living testimony. That's where it starts. It starts with what is on our mind. When we come to the King, when we come to him with the mountain that we are ready to see move, when we come to him with the problem, I'm more than likely will be out of a job. That should scare me. In fact, I, with 100% genuine faith, am not worried one iota. And doesn't everyone deserve to know what it's like to be captivated by a holy God who says, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. For there will be joy in the morning. Everyone deserves the right to know that. And everyone deserves the right to hear it. But they won't. If those who know the word are unafraid, are afraid to speak it. We have to be willing, if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we have to be willing to stand up and stop with the I don't know and just start with the God will. God will because he always has and because he went He's been behind me, he's here with me, and he moves ahead of me. We will see families change. We will see our children change. We will see the change that we so desperately pray for day in and day out. We will see it. But we have to speak it. We have to be willing to not be afraid. Ultimately, right, these religious leaders, they were afraid. They knew that one of those answers would cost them. One answer in particular would have cost them a mob. So they just opted for the easy way out. Well, I'm thankful today that Jesus did not opt for the easy way out. He took the cross, and our story starts there. Our story starts right there, where God chose to send his son to die on the cross, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a truth worth saying every day. That is our identity right there, a son or daughter of the King. Let us be more like the disciples. Right? As they listen, they see, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. I've realized there are times when we need to pray for very specific things. Very, very specific things. And hang on to that prayer until it's answered. I realized in that moment, as I sat there in my grandparents' cottage on the campground, I mean, the kids are running around and the sun is shining, and there was this mournful piece of me that said, Lord, I'm sorry. And what I love is that my Father forgives me. And He gives us the power to move forward. He gives us the power to then say, now go forward and do what I've called you to do, knowing that in my silence, I am molding you, I am making you. I want you to know today that if you are in a silent place, the Lord has not gone anywhere. Instead, just take the silence and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Maybe there's something that's been on your mind. You've prayed for it for a long time. And you're starting to wonder. You're starting to wonder, Lord, is there ever going to be an answer? Are we ever going to make it? Am I ever going to be healthy? Am I ever going to find a job again? Will my family member ever find Christ? Maybe there's a prayer that you've had for years. Let us be like those who know Christ because we call Him our Savior. And instead of saying, I don't know, say, Lord, you will move that mountain and your timing will be perfect. If that's your testimony today, if you know that and you felt that and you understand that, then let that be on your mind's eye. Let that be what you speak to yourself and over yourself. The intentional movement we make every day could be the moment somebody gives their life to Christ. Now, the hard work is done by the Spirit. The changing of a soul is done by the Holy Spirit, but He needs us working in accordance with Him. He needs us knowing the Scripture. He needs us living in the Word. He needs us being willing to wake up in the morning and say, today, Lord, I will live out my faith in a radical way if that's what you ask me to do. And He may. Just like Tuesday, I sat there and I talked about the gospel with a bunch of public school kids. And the Lord continues to astound me because when we wake up and we say, listen, today, I may not know how the day will turn out, but I do know that you're faithful. I do know that you are good. I do know that you are merciful. And I do know that you save. Amen. Your life and those around you will be different. It's time to have a prayer life that declares the truth instead of one that questions. Our mind informs our heart and informs our behavior. It all starts with our mind. It all starts there. Now, I was thinking to myself as I've been preparing, right? This is not an easy message. It wasn't easy for me when I got it in July. And I look for those confirmations. I look for those places where the Lord confirms in our spirit that this is what needs to be said. You know, He does that everywhere we go, by the way. You might be in the grocery store and the Spirit will confirm in you that you need to help this person with that jar on the upper shelf. Or you might be at home and the Spirit will confirm in you, put the book down, put the work away, just spend a few more minutes with your child. The Spirit may confirm in you, read my Scripture now. Because there's a word, or there's a phrase, or there's something that He wants to tell you. And to become so in tune with the Spirit should be all of our goal. Because kingdom work is not done until we're in the kingdom. And we all have a part to play. So this morning, sitting at the table with my husband drinking some coffee, I was brought to this, and this is in my own personal devotions. Remember, I love this place. The Spirit confirms over and over when I come here that there's an intentional movement that needs to happen here. We talk about the heart so often. The mind is connected. The mind informs the heart and informs our behavior. And so this morning, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is he. A man is literally what he thinks, or a person is literally what we think. His character being the complete sum of all our thoughts. As the plant springs from and could not be without the seed, so every act of a man springs from the hidden seed of thought and could not have appeared without them. No act can appear without first a thought. Even a spontaneous thought requires our mind to think through whether or not we're going to go through with it. And the Holy Spirit works in spontaneity. And the more in tune we become with Him, the more we realize how many spontaneous moments there are in our any given day to become so close with His creation. Act is a blossom of thought, and joy and suffering are its fruit. What's on your mind? What has consumed your mind lately? We honor and worship a God who says, "Give me all of you." If you give it to me, He will mold it and He will make it and He will create a plan that you haven't even begun to think of yet. But we know it will be good. And just like we know, as if we've lived any kind of life, that sometimes those hard moments, oh, they have made some incredible memories. Ones in which you became transformed in a brand new way. Let's pray today as a church to be renewed in our mind so that we can have a new heart and a strength to do the work that God has put before us. Each one of you are gifted in a place in your life in this season to do His work. And kingdom work is not done until we're in the kingdom. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this opportunity again today. Thank You, Lord, for Ellington and for it being a second home, a place to come where we can feel comfortable and amongst family. The beautiful thing about that, Lord, is we become more connected to other believers. It's an opportunity to breathe new truth into one another, to share the difficult challenge that lays before each one of us. For we've all faced journeys and trials and tribulations and seen Your beautiful character come to life. Let us not be afraid to speak of the strong, justifying character of our God. Let us not be like the religious leaders who just opted for the "I don't know" in the face of such wonderful authority. They were afraid. And maybe perhaps today there is somebody here in this space who is also afraid. Afraid that if the prayer doesn't really turn out the way that they've been praying for, what will it look like? Maybe the "I don't know" is totally genuine. I don't know what it's going to be. And Lord, thank You for Your discipline that teaches us You don't need to know. Let go of the humanness that's inside you to know, for My plans, they are beyond what you can imagine. Oh, Lord, we have been guilty of putting You in a box. And the blessing is then only box size. Ah, but let us be people who believe in a God of the universe. And then it's a universe-sized blessing. And that blessing may come in giving water to the thirsty, visiting the sick when they cannot come to visit us. Oh, Lord, the blessing comes in ways that we cannot imagine. mostly because, Lord, they come in the mundane. The blessings right in front of us. While we were busy praying and then responding, I don't know, the mountain was already beginning to crumble. And we missed it. Lord, help us to just take this moment in our lives and say, what do you want to say to me about my mind? Where has my mind been, Lord, as I come to you in prayer, as I come before you in these moments, Lord? We're open to the discipline. Lord, if there's anyone that can hear my voice today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, or your life has become very distant from him, oh, may you hear the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit wooing you home. For the shepherd will go after the one that is lost. And it is so important, Lord, that today anyone who can hear my voice that knows you as Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior and proclaims that truth over their lives, may they be unafraid to also go after those that are lost. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with us all. Amen. Have a wonderful and blessed Sunday.